Ever pinch pennies all year for that one family vacation, only to feel the budget blues afterwards? If so, I was just like you. After three vacationless years, I stumbled on credit card rewards travel and cracked the code to amazing vacations that I could actually afford.
Welcome to Wonderland on Points. In this podcast, you will discover how opening credit cards strategically can save you thousands on travel. We're not just dreamers anymore. We're two adventurous moms turning dreams into reality. Join us as we spill all the points and miles secrets.
And contrary to popular belief, you don't have to spend $1 million to earn 1 million points. Traveling on credit card points isn't reserved for those with overflowing bank accounts. It's for everyday people like you and me, learning to turn routine expenses into free travel.
Consider us your points travel guides. This is Wonderland on Points. Let the adventure begin. Welcome back, everybody. We have just gotten back from the most magical weekend in Dallas, Texas at the Travel More Conference, and we cannot wait to share everything with you. We learned so much. We met so many amazing people. It cannot be overstated how many incredible people we met.
So many people.
One of which is coming on the podcast today. This is Allison, who is known as the Lucky Tic Tac online. Guys, listen up. She knows her stuff. This year alone, she has redeemed over 100 million. You heard that right. 100 million points and miles for people. She does this for a living, helping people find award redemptions, booking them. So she is going to drop some serious knowledge and a really cool challenge that she is doing for herself. So I'm so excited to get into that. But first, Joanna, tell us some highlights that you had from the weekend.
Oh my gosh. This weekend was the most fun I think that I've ever had, because there is something super special about being around a bunch of people who all nerd out about the exact same thing that you do.
Yes.
Like, there's really nothing quite like that vibe. I went to WITS, and WITS is fun. Like, it's fun to be around travel creators, but this is specifically points and miles people. And it was amazing. And meeting people who I've been talking to forever is so fun. Meeting new people who I've never spoken to and I've just seen before, and finding out they're the most genuine, lovely human beings on the planet. So, so fun. I feel like I have a million new friends now, and I love it. My DMs are insane. I was just saying to somebody, I don't understand how people with a million followers do it, because the way that I can't keep up with my DMs just after this conference weekend is crazy. Like, they are out of control. And guys, it was so fun to meet listeners. Thank you so much for coming up to say hello, for telling us that you listen to the podcast. I even had one woman who did not know what I looked like, who does not follow me on Instagram, who said, wait, I know your voice. I listen to your podcast. Do you know how fun that is?
Yes, that is cool.
I know I don't have the most particularly soothing voice. So, you know, it's been said even that it is booming. And also recognizable, apparently, which is not a bad thing, I guess. I'll take it. Yes. It was fun.
There were just a lot of listeners who came up to us, which was wonderful. Our new friend, Kylie in Dallas, gave us a ride, actually. She gave me a ride from the hotel somewhere, which was just so delightful. She is welcoming her first child, a little boy, in January. So it was so fun to meet Kylie. And then Jennifer from California, Titanium with Marriott, actually gifted us a breakfast, because with her Marriott reservations, she gets free breakfast. So it was just delightful to talk to her, to hear about, she's taking her twins to Disney, did a lot of that on Points and Miles. So it was fun just to have these conversations about how we're gaining points, how we're spending points.
I do want to point out that half of that breakfast was provided by Catherine, our other amazing new friend, Catherine Fangirling. She will actually be coming on the podcast. We're super excited to have her on in the coming months. You guys, the lineup we have is crazy. There are so many people.
Insane.
Like, we just scheduled out way into next year, it feels like. So, but I was with Catherine getting ready to meet her for breakfast, and I was just going to buy Mary Ellen's breakfast. And then Jennifer ended up coming in with us, and both of them shared their lovely Marriott free breakfasts with us. And it was just such a lovely morning. It was really warmed my heart in a bunch of ways. I feel like we had conversations that filled my soul with joy. Anyways, all that to say, if you missed this weekend, you better not miss next year. I think this is one not to be missed. Even if you feel like you really know a lot in the points and miles space and you don't think you necessarily would have that much to learn from the sessions, I would venture to guess that you would be wrong, first of all. There is always more to learn. Second of all, just the camaraderie and the companionship and the meeting of new friends and everybody being invested in the same hobby as you is so incredible. So if you guys did not hear already, next year is going to be in New Orleans. It's going to be a lot of fun. I heard she's already half sold out her first class tickets. She does not want this to be a massive conference. She's capping it around 350. So like, really, I believe she's going to sell out super, super early in the year this year. So I think if you want to go to this conference, you better already be on the wait list, already have your eyeballs on it. It was amazing.
I love that it's big enough that there's a lot of new people to meet. Like, you're not going to be able to meet quite everybody, but small enough and intimate enough that you can, if there is somebody that you want to talk to, that you want to pick their brain, you can find them and strike mm-hmm. up a conversation with them. The speakers are very approachable. Mm-hmm. So you really can learn and build community at this conference.
100%. It was such a warm and inviting place. It didn't feel like there were any cliques or gatekeeping or anything like that. It was a great weekend, you guys. I could go on and on and on, but I won't, because I feel like that will just create some really sad FOMO for everyone that did not get to go. So we'll leave it right there. Let's talk about some of the topics that we're going to have over the next couple of months, because we've got quite the lineup.
Yeah, we have recruited so many incredible guests to come on the show. We're going to be doing deep dive episodes into Delta, Hilton, United, all the programs that you're curious about, all the points that you want to use. At the same time, we've got some great trip episodes coming up. We're going to be talking to somebody about going to Antarctica on points, going to Tahiti on points, Hawaii on points, just so many incredible things. And we hope to balance between, you know, deep diving into the different programs where you can earn points to help people learn how to do that, and then giving real inspiration and tangible examples of what people have done with their points. So we are thrilled to be bringing you all of these episodes.
Yeah, it's going to be an incredible lineup. And I want to let people know that we're kind of transitioning our Wondering Wednesdays a little. We've kind of done all of those beginner intro topics. We have a few more of those that'll be launching over the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to transition to more intricate questions. So if you really have questions about specific kinds of transfers or specific places that are hard to get to, and you want a few examples of how we might potentially try to use our points to get to a certain location, these are all the questions that we want you guys to send our way. And we do already have a number of them in the DMs and the emails that we can go through. But I want to open this up and let you know that the Wondering Wednesday is not going to just stay those 101 basic introductory topics. We're getting ready to transition to the more deep, intricate topics. So send your questions our way. You know where to find us. We would be really excited to get your questions and to be able to answer them on the show. And now I think you really don't want to hear us talk anymore, because you want to talk to the human seats.arrow herself, because it lives in her brain. Her brain is a computer. I do not even understand how she knows so much. It's the most incredible thing. You will not want to miss a second of this interview with Allison. So here we go.
Allison is on the podcast with us today. Welcome, Allison. We are so excited to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I'm super stoked to be here.
So, Allison, yes, you are a Army veteran. You reside roughly in the Columbus, Ohio area, although we've been talking today about Travelmore, and you have yet to make it home from Travelmore because you are still out adventuring, which is awesome. And you are truly a points and miles guru. So tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about who you typically travel with, and then we'll dig into some of your knowledge.
Yeah, so I'm Allison, if you've forgotten who I am already. I've been using points and miles for like a decade now. I got into it when it was actually super hard to like figure out how to use your points, right? There wasn't any tools. You had to do everything manual. I mean, you would easily spend 10, 20 hours on a trip if you were trying to monitor and everything. And I don't really travel with that many people, honestly. I mostly just travel solo, figuring out where I want to go, when I want to go. Occasionally, a family member might come with me or like we'll meet up with someone. But generally, I just travel by myself, which is kind of really good for the points that I want to use anyways, because I can snag those like one-time offer things that are available.
We are definitely going to get into your 12s, how many 12s? I don't know. Your challenge that you have made for yourself and all the cool redemptions that you have done to make that possible. But first, we already teased our listeners that you have redeemed over 100 million miles for people, which is absolutely wild. So tell us a little bit about that. Like what, how did you redeem all these miles? And tell us your favorite resources when you are redeeming miles, looking for flights.
At least as far as like the redeeming points, right? I work for a company called Freedom Travel Systems, and we help business owners optimize their spend and then turn those points from their spend into travel. Okay. I actually just started like tracking these numbers because I was just like mostly interested in like what I was doing, honestly. And then it turns out like it was a ton of points, right? So we've redeemed over 100 million points for our clients this year. And we're averaging 4.7 cents per point over like 500 trips.
Insane. Right? So insane.
Yeah, that's right. A batting average like 1,000. You're batting pretty high. You are a star in that lineup.
Sports analogies go straight over my head, guys. Nothing. No sports anywhere in
batting,
this.
Maybe batting 600. Maybe that would be what it would be a better comparison.
You could say any of those things, and I would say, okay. Sorry, continue. Guys, we met Allison this weekend, and she was described to me as the human seats.arrow, which is clearly true. And as people who have always just kind of settled in the points, yeah, universe, because it's just really simple when I look at it, I feel like I wanted to sit down with you this weekend and get like a full tutorial out of your genius brain, and it did not happen because I was working all weekend long. But I want to first of all hear the backstory of how you got into doing this as a job. And then I really want you to dig into seats.arrow and tell our listeners why they should maybe give it a chance, even though I may or may not have said I find it too complicated in the past on the podcast.
I want to know who called me the human seats.arrow.
That was DeAndre. That was DeAndre.
Okay.
Yes.
DeAndre. Okay.
And now correct. It's just going to take a life of its own. And that's just going to be that's your new nickname. That's
a new one for me. Most people just call me the human encyclopedia, honestly, because I can just like pull out some sort of like points and miles trivia.
That's amazing.
My brain. So that's a new one. So I've got human encyclopedia, human seats.arrow. I'm going to have to get that like printed on some like business cards or something.
Oh, yeah.
At least go update my Instagram profile with that.
Your new handle. New handle is not Lucky Tic Tac anymore. It's humanseats.arrow. Hopefully there's no branding issues there. They might come after you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I might get sued. But
yeah. They should just sponsor you. You do such good advertisement for them. Come on.
I would for sure. For sure. So, I actually like how I got started as like making points and miles my full-time job is I was in the process of moving from Texas to Ohio, actually. I left my job. I had no plan whatsoever. I just like got bored sitting at home and I started I didn't start the Instagram account. I already had the Instagram account and I just started posting like random stuff about utilizing points and miles. And that's why I don't have any sort of like points and miles handle on Instagram, because it was just, I just started using what I had. And, you know, eventually Eli, our CEO from Freedom Travel Systems, he just DM'd me and was like, hey, come work for me. And I was like, okay, come work for you. I figured best case scenario was I would get paid to do what I love. Worst case scenario, I would just leave after a couple of weeks. So it was a win-win situation for me. So, so I've just been like super excited. I never thought I'd be able to like make points and miles a full-time job. And now I can, which is incredible. It doesn't feel like work when you're right. super excited and passionate about what you do.
Oh, I love that. Okay, so why Seats.Aero? Why is it superior in your mind? And you've done a lot of award searches, so your opinion holds a lot of weight. Why is it superior to the other things like Poinsia?
Honestly, and I'm not going to answer this question the way you want me to answer. I wouldn't say it's necessarily superior to Poinsia, right? Because the functionalities are the same. What I like the most about Seats.Aero and why I tend to default to that one is just the sheer amount of flexibility, the tools that they're adding constantly as well. So you can search individual routes, right? You want to go New York to Paris, you can search just that route. But maybe you're completely flexible with where you're wanting to go. So you can search JFK to all of Europe if you want, right? Or if you live in a small airport like I do, I have one international flight a day to Toronto, which is actually ending soon. So I can't even go anywhere internationally. That you can search all of USA to all of Europe or Asia and just run hundreds of searches all at once over multiple days. And that's why I like it. It makes it more efficient and quicker. So you're not having to run 1,000 searches over a day or 2 days or something.
You also mentioned when we met that you can search a year at a time, which to me really sets it apart. And I think that's in the paid version, which you also made a pitch for. You were like, it's worth it. So talk us through that a little.
Yeah. So when you do like region searches, you're not going to be able to search like over a year.
Okay.
Right. But if you're doing like one airport to maybe a region, you can search that 180 days plus or minus, which that's going to give you basically a year to do that. And if you're someone that's trying to scope out something extremely specific, it just makes your searches so much faster. You run one search and it's going to cover your entire year. So maybe you're trying to find like Emirates First Class on their new Game Changer, Chicago to Dubai, search the entire year, find that first class, then you can book it versus trying to go to Emirates and click on every single day for the next 365 days, right?
Right.
It's just so much easier.
Does it give you a calendar view? I like a full calendar view when it's like month by month that you can sort through.
It doesn't give you a calendar view as a visual, okay? But it's going to list it in a table for you, essentially. So you can sort by chronological order or reverse chronological order if you want it as well.
And there's a hotel version too, is that right?
There is a hotel version of that. Kind of like you said with that like calendar view, I find that a lot easier to comprehend in my brain when I'm talking about hotels, because you're generally not staying one night at a hotel. So the view of Seats, or it's called rooms.aero. The table view just doesn't work for me. So I don't use the hotel version. I'll use a different tool when I'm looking at hotels.
Okay. What tool?
So today I was actually looking at Max My Point, because I was trying to go to South America and I was using that, and it was just displaying the way that I wanted to be able to see it. Whether or not it's a standard room, a suite, cash rates as well. It's pretty detailed. It'll show you the exact room type that you want.
That's actually so helpful. I don't know what it is. Like, I always go straight to an award tool for flights 100% of the time. But for whatever reason, when I get to the point where I'm doing hotels, I'm like, each brand one at a time all the way through the place that I'm going. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself? But also perhaps because the aggregator tools for the hotels are more recent than the flights, and they don't always seem to have worked out all the kinks. And I haven't personally loved the way they've been laid out either. So that's really interesting. I'm going to have to look into the Max My Point one because I'm very curious about that. So when we met you, we learned that you decided to do a challenge for yourself this year. And I was totally fascinated by this challenge. And I want you to tell our listeners exactly what it is. And then tell us how far you are into it, how much you have left to go. Walk us through this whole thing. And also, it's just like, what a cool life to just be like, I'm going to do this. And we're just going to go for it. Or like, I was supposed to go home, but I'm going to stay in Austin. Like, I just think that is so fun. I'm a little jealous. Continue.
Before I explain what the 12 in 12 is, let me give the backstory of how I came up with this.
So, yes, definitely.
December of last year, so December 2023, I was in Prague, actually. I went to go to the Christmas markets in Europe. I did Vienna, Munich, and Prague, and I ended up getting sick in Prague soon as I got there. Like, I think I had like 104 degree temperature when I was there.
Oh, goodness.
I was so sick that I could not even like respond to text messages. That's just how like out of it I was. So the only thing I could do was think. And I wasn't tired while I was sick. So I was just staring at the ceiling, just going like, what do I can do? And I was just thinking, it's like, you know what? I want to go do more airline products next year. I want to go to more places next year. So I started thinking, like, how can I challenge myself as well to just get out of, I'm not going to use the word safe to like describe like the crime rate, okay, but more of like safe countries where people would tend to go to on trips, right? So I just wanted to challenge myself to leave my comfort zone more than anything. So I just came up with this 12 and 12, okay? And it's 12 new airline products, 12 new countries, 12 new hotels in 12 months. So it was like, I can do two a month, basically. And if I structured in a way, I do the last week of the month and the first week of the month. And then I'm back home for the middle chunks of the month. Never worked out that way. But yeah, so that's my 12 in 12, or 12 to the fourth power, if you will, if you're a math nerd. At all. I'm not a math nerd. I can barely do simple addition, to be honest. But that's my 12 in 12.
I love that it was like this wild fever dream. Like this moment
exactly
of 104 temperature, life like flashing before your eyes, this moment of, I want to do this incredible challenge. That is so cool.
I know. And it was just like, I just want to fly more airlines, more products. Oh, and the products have to be lie flats. Okay. It can't be economy or something.
Distinction.
Yeah. It has to be a lie flat that I've never flown before.
Were you even able to find?
Yeah.
Right.
Are there that many?
I was able to find a good chunk of stuff that I haven't flown before. Right?
Wow.
So it's like I flew United Polaris on a 777. Couldn't do that. I've basically done all of British Airways, American Airlines. So those were out. So I did have a good chunk of things that I've never flown before that I was able to do.
Oh my gosh.
Well, give us a rundown.
Right. What have you done so far? And how many do you have left to do?
Mm-hmm. So I've done KLM business class, Lufthansa business class, Swiss business class, Virgin Atlantic business class on their A330-900neo, which is the new Virgin Atlantic business class with like the suites and everything. I've done two different versions of Starlux business class, the A350 and their A321neo. I've done the EVA Air business class, the new Japan Airlines business class, and the old Japan Airlines business class, which I had never done before, oddly enough. I flew Thai, business class, China Airlines business class, on the A321neo and their A350. And that really covers, it actually was all 12 of my airline products, actually.
Awesome. I feel like, I have so many questions.
I know. I feel like this needs to be a series because there's so much here. If you were to pick one out of all of those new ones that you felt really ranked above the rest, what was it?
I'm going to give you two. Okay.
I love that.
Because obviously one is like the new Japan Airlines business class product because it's new. It's on their new A350. It's like the suite with the private doors and like the privacy is amazing. I'm going to give you three. I lied. Yes.
Nope. Love it. Give me everything.
All of the tips.
I loved the Starlux business class on their A350 as well. Just the seat is great, but the service was like top notch, right? As soon as I boarded, I like barely sat down. They came over to introduce me. They even asked how I wanted to be like addressed, right?
Oh, wow.
Which afterwards, you know, I just said, hey, just address me as Allison. That's fine. Like, I don't need it to be formal. But then I was like, this is the perfect opportunity to be whoever you want. So it's like, I just could have been like Rachel for all I wanted.
Or like, your majesty.
Exactly, right? And then the third one was, so we got Japan Airlines business class, we've got Starlux business class. The third one was the China Airlines business class as well. It didn't have a door, but it was just like luxurious. The service was great. The food was awesome as well. Like, you don't want a good product with crap food, honestly. It's like, they got to go hand in hand. You got to have good food.
I have to say, I don't think I hear about China Airlines business class very often, or maybe even ever. It's not one of those ones that pops up in your algorithm all the time on Instagram.
No, it's not. And I think it's just because it's hard to book, honestly. Mm-hmm. You either get like something a year out, like one or two seats maybe, or there's like a dump of award space. Like, they don't offer a lot of seats.
Give us some of the point redemptions for these flights and tell us where you transferred from, which base.
So for my Japan Airlines one, I had AA miles that I earned from just flying domestically. I don't use points for domestic flights personally. I just, the value is not there. Generally, I'm going to get the points back in the process. So I had 60,000 American airline miles. I think I paid like $50 in taxes to fly that Japan Airlines business class. So you can't transfer any of your flexible points to AA. So I had those points. And then for Starlux, I used 85,000 Alaska miles to book this because I actually booked San Francisco to Taipei and then on to Kuala Lumpur.
Wow.
I took advantage of the Alaska free stopover program
in
that process. So I only paid like 10K extra miles to get on to Kuala Lumpur. So if I booked it without the stopover, it still would have been 85,000 miles. But with the stopover, I spent about a week in Taipei for free, basically. I mean, I had to pay for the hotel, but didn't have to pay any extra with the points. And then China Airlines, there's a couple of different ways to book that. Actually, let me back up. So for the Alaska stuff, I got those points through like the Lyft partnership, but also just through a couple of sign-up bonuses from the Bank of America Alaska cards.
Okay.
I usually do one or two of those a year to get some Alaska miles because I like using my Alaska miles a lot. And then, so that's how I got my Alaska miles. But now you can actually do a little workaround, right? You can transfer your Amex points. Amazing.
I love it.
I think I'm going to take advantage of it myself. So you go Amex to Hawaiian, and then you link your Hawaiian account to your Alaska account, and then you transfer your points to Alaska that way. So it's just a little workaround to get your points to Alaska.
It's amazing. I suspect
it'll end eventually. But yeah, it's absolutely amazing. I'm going to transfer here probably later today and book an Alaska flight.
You have to. The Alaska redemptions are so good. And we had Betsy from Her Alaska Travels on because she really specializes in Alaska. She's from Alaska. She knows how to accumulate the points if you live there. And that whole episode, my heart was breaking because I was like, this is not super attainable for people that don't live in Alaska. As soon as that workaround became available, I felt like it was like a week and I was booking stuff with Alaska miles, and I'm terrified that it's going to go away or that their redemptions are going to get a lot higher because people are so much more able to get their points over there. But for right now, I'm going to book everything I can, and it is my goal to do a business class of some kind that way because I've never been on a business class flight.
Allison's face right now, her jaw is hitting the floor a little bit. I know. But you're giving us so much inspiration.
You know, I have a family, I'm tied to a full-time job and a child, and it's just hasn't been like a really super attainable or necessary thing for our trip so far. But like now that we have a podcast, I think I just have to do it because it's a job at this point. So I have to, even though it will be painful and horrible for me.
Oh.
You got to do it once.
I know. Well, if anything really amazing crosses your computer that you're like, this is the one, you just send it my way.
I got you.
And how did you book your flight on China Airlines?
So for the China Airlines ones, you can book it a couple different ways. The two most popular ways is through Flying Blue, which is amazing when they have a transfer bonus, which there always seems to be a Flying Blue transfer bonus, like once
there
a
really
quarter
does.
Between the four different banks you can transfer points to. But you can also book China Airlines through Qantas. Okay. They have a partnership with Qantas. So I see a lot more China Airlines flights available through Qantas than Flying Blue. I actually booked mine through Qantas for 90K points.
Wow. Were the taxes really high? I feel like every redemption I see through Qantas has really high taxes.
Qantas does have higher taxes and fees, but with China Airlines, I think it was like a couple hundred bucks, honestly. So I think of the taxes as the pay to play type thing, even when we're talking about Emirates with like their higher taxes and fees. I'm like, I pay $1,000 in taxes with Emirates versus $6,000 for the same flight. I'm still saving $5,000. It's a win for me on that.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense to me. I think a lot of our audience tries to do like the least out of pocket cost possible. So we always like to talk about like those AA business class flights where you're literally still paying under $100 in taxes and fees. I mean, sometimes they're under 50. I mean, it's like kind of crazy how they don't pass along taxes and fees, but I would also pay to play, I think, in some of these products. You always mention you mentioned like the different kinds of aircraft, and I would have to say that that's something new that I'm just getting into is being able to identify the flight, because I was looking at some Virgin business class flights that I got really excited about. And someone, I think it was Jenny Franklin, Traveling Franklin's, was like, well, but which aircraft is it? Because if it's the coffin seats, don't get excited. It's got to be the new one. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I didn't even look. So is that something that you're kind of always staying on top of, is which aircraft it is and where are you finding that information? Where can people really stay on top of the aircraft?
Yeah. So for my 12 and 12, I did not really care which aircraft it was on just because I probably hadn't flown it already. So for me, it wasn't a big factor, but for my clients, I'm definitely factoring that into account because I don't want them to fly a less superior product if they can depart on the same day with just a slightly different flight time. And I want to make sure they have the best experience possible for that. So I'm definitely taking that into account. There's routes that I know that it's like, it's going to be this aircraft or it's going to be this aircraft, or they switch to like this one. But the easiest way to like deduce which aircraft it is, there's going to be two ways to do that. I actually like to use Google Flights to find this information because I found it's better and more detailed than most of the airlines' websites.
Okay.
Because sometimes they'll just be like, it's the 777 but they have four different versions. It might be the 200 or the 300 series, right? Mm-hmm. And their website doesn't show that, but Google Flights will generally. And then I take that aircraft and I go to Aerolopa, okay? And Aerolopa has some of the most detailed seat maps I've ever seen. Like whoever's running it is like an aircraft nerd because they actually have the windows where they're placed, which is super important if you're flying like premium economy to make sure you have a window at your seat.
Yeah.
Or like if you're doing business class, you make sure you get the extra window so you just get extra views.
Yeah.
Versus like two windows, you might get three windows instead. I know that sounds crazy and first world problems, but those are things that I think about for that. And then it'll just show you the layout of like what the plane is. And that's how I figure it out.
That's incredible. I've never even heard of that.
Well, now you have.
I just want to go on record right now and make it be noted to the world that Allison has recommended that we go to Google Flights and look up the aircraft, because anyone who was at the Travel More conference knows that in her presentation, multiple times, she is noted to have said on record, Google Flights sucks. So
I did say that multiple times. And my 2023 Travel More presentation, I started off saying, Google Flights sucks. And you would have thought I ruined everybody's world with that, okay? I will say Google Flights is great for cash. It's not so great for route research when we're utilizing points, okay? So that's why I hate Google Flights, is just from a route research perspective. But if we're trying to find cash or identify aircrafts, Google Flights is acceptable.
Okay. That's an important caveat. You know, I actually placed my first Google Flight alert ever yesterday. I never, ooh, ever use Google Flights unless I want to check a cash rate for something that I've booked on points. So I have not gotten into Google Flights at all for anything. And now I feel like with the new addition of the Southwest, that's going to be something that's on my radar. But I am very interested to start getting into aircraft. So that's good to know that plus the Aerolopa, is that how you say that? How do you spell that? Just out of curiosity, since people are listening to this.
It's Aerolopa, Aerolopa.
I would have gotten that very wrong. I'm glad you spelled that. So maybe
I'm glad
guys,
I could spell that right, actually, because I cannot spell whatsoever.
Well, you did perfect. And I think I'm going to drop a link to that in the show notes for everybody to make it easy.
Allison, I love that one of the things that's a part of your challenge is you really wanted to go to countries that push you outside of your comfort zone a little bit. Maybe countries that aren't just super well known as being, you know, the safest countries that are just easy to go to, like people think of maybe for traveling with their family. So which countries were you the most pleasantly surprised by? You were really pushing yourself. So which ones caught you off guard and you were really just enjoyed and super happy with?
So I went to Montenegro in April, and that's not a place that a lot of people go to, but it was amazing. You know, I only went to the Kotor Bay region, which is super beautiful. Time of year we went was like great. It's too cold to get in the water, and the beach isn't set up. But if you go during the summer, actually don't go during the summer because it's like super tourist heavy. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine, like, just imagine the population of Tokyo in your hometown. That's not a big city, right? It's completely overrun. You can't walk anywhere. So it's better fall, spring. You're going to get good weather. There's going to be a lot less tourists, but it was just amazing to be there. The views are what I cared about. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
That's awesome. I don't think I could even place, like, I have to say geography is not my thing, which as a person who's getting more and more into the world of like teaching people how to travel places might need to be something I brush up on, but I could not pick even the region of where Montenegro is on a map of the world at all. I think I've heard the name one time. Where is it exactly?
We actually had a game at Travelmore that was, you buzzed in, it was trivia, right? And so most of it was multiple choice questions, but there were a couple where it was a map and you had to drop a pin on a map. One of them, which was hilarious, was where is Dallas? Because we were literally in Dallas and many people put dots like all over Texas that were nowhere close to Dallas. But there were a couple other countries, and I bet Montenegro, I bet that's one that would have stumped a lot of people.
Yeah, it's definitely not a place that a lot of people like go to. It's on the radar because it is such a smaller country. But if you know where Croatia is, it's just south of Croatia, okay? Kotor is literally like 2 hours south of Dubrovnik, okay?
Okay.
So it's super easy to get to. And then if you've got like Italy, right? And you've got Rome up here, then you've got Bari here. Kotor is like just across the Mediterranean from there.
Well, I feel bad for anybody that could not see your really helpful hand map just now, because it did actually give me quite the visual picture of where it is. So, I have a better idea now, and I appreciate that. And I know that we do not have you here to talk about Christmas markets, but I just like feel like we need to take a little tangent into the trip that you were taking when you got sick. Is that something that you did on points, this Christmas market tour slash redemption? Yes?
I did in some ways. I used points for my business class flights to get over there. I used points to fly there. And then I think I actually flew economy on the way back. So I just paid cash for that. But I used points for all of my hotels. So I did the Park Hyatt Vienna, I did the Andaz Munich, and I did the Andaz Prague during that trip.
That's awesome. How'd you get from country to country? Trains or puddle jumper flights? Or
I was going to do trains, but when I started looking at like what the cost was of the trains compared to the flights and the travel time, it was actually faster and cheaper to take flights.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I was going from Vienna to Munich, it actually benefited me that I was doing a flight, because at some point between Vienna and Munich, the trains were shut down, or the tracks were shut down, because they had like a once in a century like snowstorm, right? So you couldn't get between half of it.
Oh my gosh. Well, that worked out super well. Okay. And out of the three, I'm assuming you visited three Christmas markets, one in each place. What was your favorite?
So I liked the Munich and Vienna ones the best. Vienna, they have a bunch of them. There was like the big one right outside the city hall, which was awesome, just with all the different vendors and like food options. And then, actually, this is really weird, and I liked this one a lot better, but there was a Christmas market right outside of the Park Hyatt Vienna, and it's so small, like, if you didn't touch anything, it would take you, like, 5 minutes to, like, walk around. There was maybe 20 food vendors and everything, but there was this vendor that sold pretzels, okay?
I'm hungry. And
these pretzels were, like, to die for, okay? Like, I ate one night because I was just like, pretzel, cool. I'm going to go eat a pretzel. And then I was like working another night at like 9 o'clock at night in Vienna. And I was like, I'm kind of hungry. What can I get super fast that I can walk to? And I was like, I'm just going to go get a pretzel. And then I started looking at all the pretzels, and I bought like 5 pretzels while I was there. So imagine just this crazy little like American wearing like sweats and like a crappy coat, like walking into this fancy hotel with people in suits and top hats, and I'm just holding pretzels, and I look like a crazy person, but I don't care. I ate the pretzels. They were good.
I love this story. I am. Me too. 100%. I want to do a pretzel tour of Christmas markets now. I just felt like we should take that little tangent, because the amount of people at the conference this weekend that were like, I'm planning my Christmas market tour. I just feel like that's something people are pretty pumped about and everybody wants to do. And there's so many. And it's pretty hard to nail down like where, when, what to fly. So I just felt like if we could get a few recommendations, it sounds like Vienna might be a nice place to start, especially with those pretzels. And I haven't eaten yet today, so that like really calls to me at this exact moment.
The Munich one at Marienplatz was also amazing. Okay. The food vendors there were like top notch, honestly. And like they had a potato tornado.
Like one of those like twisted, is it where they like take it and put it on a stick and it's like spiraled?
Exactly. Ugh. And you can get like different toppings. I got like a paprika salt one. And it like, I looked like I was crazy, but I don't care because it was so good.
I literally care more about the food at the Christmas markets than even the visuals. And I am such a Christmas person. So, but maybe it's my stomach that's leading the way on this today, but I have to do it. I'm thinking 2026 is my year for the Christmas markets. Maybe we should just have you come back on and talk more in detail about this because it's really not the point of this interview today. Let's go back. So we've covered aircrafts. We've covered countries. We talked about, in fact, no, I think we just got, I think you just told us one countries. Maybe give us a couple more countries and then let's move on to some of the hotel brands you've tried.
Yeah. So as far as the countries, I've done Portugal, Turkey, Sweden, Montenegro, Taiwan, Malaysia, Thailand, Bulgaria, Romania, Poland. And I was supposed to do Vietnam and Cambodia. It's still on the docket, but I might pull an audible and go to South America instead. I'm going to figure that one out later today as well.
Let the flights do the talking.
Well, I have the flights for Cambodia and Vietnam. So I have my flight there and I have everything booked except a return flight because I kind of want to do Q suites. But I may not do it. I may just go to South America. I kind of want to go to the Park Hyatt Buenos Aires, and it's not available currently. And that's why I'm like, I don't know. We'll see.
I'm curious. We asked you the country that surprised you the most. Which one did you really not love? Let's just be honest. Let's be real. We keep it real here. Even the good and the bad. Which one were you like, not impressed. Okay, one and done. Don't need to go back here.
Honestly, so when I did Turkey, I only did Istanbul, okay? Mm-hmm. I did not like Istanbul at all, okay? And it's from like one specific experience that I had. I was going to like the mosques and everything, and they just like the guys that were there were catcalling me and following me around while I was there.
No good.
I was like, I don't like this. Like, and I've heard that experience from other women that have gone to Istanbul in that same exact place. But I want to go back to Turkey because I want to do other parts of the country. Mm-hmm. So I'll go back, but I just did not have a personal good experience when I went to Istanbul.
No, that's an alarming experience, especially if you're doing solo female travel. It's very, very off-putting. It's actually what I keep seeing from people who are visiting the pyramids in Egypt as well, which is why it's kind of crushing for me because that was always a dream of mine, but it looks like a very overwhelming. People are in your face constantly, either catcalling or trying to sell you things or trying to scam you. And it's like, oh, this is really sad that something that should be such an incredible experience has to be colored like that. I wonder if they do the same thing if you have a man with you, which is a shame.
So I've heard that when you're just a woman by yourself, they do it. But if you're with like a group of women, they'll do it to the whole group. But if you're with a male, they won't bother you. But
I hate
you
that.
I don't so much mind like vendors like bothering me, but it was just like random guys would like come up to me and like start catcalling me and following me around. And I was just like, I'm out.
Yep.
Okay. We have heard several mentions of Park Hyatts. I feel like one of your life goals is going to be to visit all of the Park Hyatts. I could be wrong, but I see that in your future. Is Hyatt the chain that you are the most loyal to, or you have status with other chains? What's your hotel situation?
You know, I never thought about making a life goal of mine to stay at every Park Hyatt, but I know the points passport, they have a goal to stay at every W worldwide. And now I'm like, maybe I'll stay at every Park Hyatt worldwide.
Oh my gosh, please do. I will give you inspiration and it'll make me so proud.
Maybe that's what I'll do next year as my challenge, just gonna stay at all the Park Hyatts.
That sounds like the most fun challenge ever.
That does sound pretty fun. But yeah, I pretty much irrationally stay at Hyatt properties, okay? And I know Sunitra, during her topic, someone told me about this. She was like, don't be loyal to one hotel brand, because it does actually put you at a disadvantage, right? Because if you only will stay at one hotel chain, if you will, right, you don't get to experience the better properties that might be available in that area. And I've obviously set myself up for failure by only staying at Hyatt properties with that. But for me, I spend like a third of the year away from home, pretty much. And I'm totally flexible where I go. So I pretty much plan all of my travels around Hyatt properties, right?
100%.
I'll figure it out. It's like, okay, I want to go here. Is there a Hyatt there? No. Okay. I guess I'm not going there. Okay. There's a Hyatt over here. But yeah, I'm pretty known for going on the Hyatt website. There's a page where you can filter by regions or just see the list of all the Hyatt properties and which country they're in. I'm pretty known for going there and just being clicking on stuff and seeing if it's a place I want to go to, and then deciding to book a trip there.
I love you even more than I already did, because I tell people that the Hyatt app is like my social media. Like, some people scroll Instagram, I scroll my Hyatt app. In fact, the one time that I did not plan a trip around already knowing if I could stay in a Hyatt is a trip that I have coming up to London and Dublin. I really, really love that you just follow the Hyatts. And I know that maybe brand loyalism can keep you from some cool experiences other places, but I imagine if a third of the year is spent in hotels, you must be globalist, and the benefits that come with that are worth it to me. I would chase that all the time if I was doing a lot of hotel stays every year.
Yeah, I mean, that Hyatt globalist status is just what I find a ton of value with, because you spend, for me, if I spend a third of the year away from home, I actually did the math on this, was if I value my free breakfast for every night at $50, yes, and I'm generally staying at properties where it's $50 or more for breakfast, right? So even if I stay at, a Hyatt place, right, breakfast would be cheaper, average $50 a night, right? That's $6,000 worth of value from that one benefit. And that doesn't even factor in room upgrades that I would get.
Right.
I am not a person that will pay more just for a view. I'm going to pay whatever the cheapest room is.
Same.
If I'm overlooking at the parking lot, so be it. Okay. But those suite upgrades or those room upgrades, I'm getting incremental value from that. And I haven't done the math on that. Maybe I should do the math on that next year.
That would be interesting.
Is what value I get from that. And maybe I'll try and track the early check-in, late check-out value as well that I get. I'm going to go real deep into math next year.
We're inspiring you. Please come back and do a full episode on the value of Hyatt and staying in all the Park Hyatts in the world. Best episode ever. I think because I got into points and miles, starting out just with that Hyatt Southwest combo, I'm insanely loyal. And it's just so hard to even wrap your head around, I could stay for 8,000 of my Chase points here, or I could spend 25,000 plus to stay at any other brand, even with fourth night free, fifth night free, whatever, or a transfer from Amex that goes 1 to 2. It just still doesn't even come close in terms of value. So
it doesn't.
I would gladly change my destination to be at a Hyatt. I think that's a perfectly reasonable way to travel.
I would venture to say basically what all of my stays have been this year. It's just basically cherry picking where I want to go, right? I have not used Hyatt points for every single one of my stays. I can't generate that many Chase points or Hyatt points every year, right?
Right.
So I try and stick in this range about $100 a night for a hotel. I think I'm averaging $110 a night for hotels. And just because of that, I'm very strategic about where I go and when I go to stay on that. And if it's kind of outside of that, I'm going to use my points for those uber luxury stays.
Right.
If I was going to go to London, those hotels are expensive. cash wise, right? It's so easily crazy. No matter what time of year you go, it's going to be over $500 a night, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Even the Hyatt Place, London East, generally about $500 a night, okay? So that's where these points come in, because you can just go stay at the Park Hyatt or the Andaz and enjoy a nice luxury stay.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing. It's amazing how far the points will take you.
I would venture to say that anybody in the points and miles world who is not loyal to Hyatt, if they're like a Marriott person or Hilton person, I think that they're that because of business, right? Their work always wanted them to stay in Marriott's or always wanted to stay in Hilton's. I don't think anybody, I know I'm overstepping a little bit, and we are going to have Angelo, a friend that we met at the conference, on the podcast to talk about Hilton. But I think most people got into some other loyalty chain because of business purposes. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they would choose that on their own if it was only personal travel and they didn't get reimbursed if they stayed at Marriott's or something like that. Maybe that's extreme, but I'm going to just throw that out there.
If that's not you, reach out to us and tell us why you're loyal and it has nothing to do with business and it's just a personal choice. We are very curious. I do want to know. Just saying.
Allison, tell me, okay, so you've already been to all these countries, you listed them out. And so you stayed at Hyatt's in all of those countries, as we have learned. Which was your favorite Hyatt? Which hotel property was the most incredible?
So I did the Dream Hollywood. That was cool. That was a nice property. I stayed at the Thompson Hollywood and the Andaz Hollywood as well. But highly recommend the Dream over all three of those. Definitely don't stay at the Thompson because it was super loud the entire time I was there. I could not get any sleep the entire time.
That would make me insane. I
felt a little insane after I left.
Yeah.
For sure. I stayed at the Park Hyatt New York and the Thompson Central Park. They were good. Maybe I just chose like the wrong time to go, but I did not have that experience at both of those properties that I always hear everyone talk about. That's like, it's so good. So I'm going to go back to the Park Hyatt just to give it another chance to see if I get that awesome experience that everyone else had. I went during UN Assembly Week. I was basically the only person in the hotel that was not an ambassador or someone working for an ambassador.
That's pretty cool though. Yeah.
I ate breakfast with like some random ambassador. I don't even know who it was, but that was kind of cool.
I would say go back at Christmas time, okay, because this was pre-points and miles day, but I'm a nanny, okay, and I have been for a bazillion years, and one of my earlier families took me with them to nanny their children on this trip, and we stayed in adjoining suites at the Park Hyatt during Christmas time. You could see the Russian tea room out my window. Everything's decorated. It was a glorious, glorious experience. So if you're a Christmas person, that might be the... No? You did Christmas markets and you're not a Christmas person? I don't understand.
I am not a holiday person in general.
All right.
Okay, so I do not get excited about any sort of holiday. Halloween, Easter,
Thanksgiving.
I do not get excited about them. Like, I could live my life happily without ever having to do one of them.
What? So the Christmas markets was just like a thing that you just wanted to do for no reason.
The pretzels. What's up?
Everyone always said they were cool. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. But I did enjoy the Christmas markets. They were cool. I'm just not a Christmas person. So I'm not going to decorate my house with Christmas stuff.
No, so you are just not swayed by looking out your window and seeing like all of Manhattan covered in lights. That's not exciting.
No.
Okay, well then don't go.
And dirty snow.
I'll go. That's true. It is cold and gross. You said it was good. I'll do it because you said I should do it. So I'll try it.
Well, now I'm afraid I'm going to be wrong and you're going to hate it and you're going to come back at me.
Okay.
You're going to be like, Joanna, what did you tell me to do?
You're entitled to your opinion.
That's how
it.
I, you know what? I
love, might not like it, but that's okay.
Live and let live. I love this way of floating through life. It's how I do it. So, okay, let's get back on track then. Okay, so what was supposed to have been like two more pages of notes and questions has been cut off because of my tangents, probably mostly. So we're coming up in an hour here, so we don't want to keep you all day. But what we do want to know is, how are you amassing the points that are allowing you to do this? Like, what are some strategies that you can give our audience if they're like, I really want to copy Allison's life? Where do I get started?
Because 12 business class flights, more than 12 in one calendar year, is coming
impressive.
From what seems like a lot of points.
Yeah, I wish I was someone that had like a lot of spend, because I could just organically earn the amount of points that I need annually. Mm. I'm really strategic about the cards that I open up. Okay. I chase about 8 signup bonuses a year. That helps pad my points balance. But for me, in like this year, one of my family members was building a house. So I was able to put all of these expenses on a credit card. So that's how I earned a lot of my points to help this year's challenge. So next year might be a little bit hard for me to do 12 business class flights. I might have to, I'm obviously really strategic about the amount of points that I use as well with that. You know, it's like I'm trying to find those saver deals where it's like the least amount of points. My Virgin Atlantic flight like only cost 29,750 points.
Incredible.
Because there was a 50% off sale at that time.
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, strategy is everything. I feel like it's what we preach. We tell people not to get shiny card syndrome and just start opening because something sounds like a high points value. You really have to make sure it fits your goals and that the points are actually the value it seems like they are. An IHG card for 150,000 points is not going to get you very far, guys. I had somebody message me lamenting the opening of that card because she just thought it sounded like a lot of points. So don't do that. But where can people find you online so that they can follow your journeys? And what if people wanted to work with you, like a business wanted to work with you? Where do they track you down for that kind of stuff?
Yeah, so I'm mostly active on Instagram. I'm not a great content creator and pushing out content on a daily basis, but when I do, it's usually pretty good. But you can find me on Instagram at Lucky Tic Tac. The Tic Tac is for like the old like Tic Tacs, you know, the mints and stuff.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Where that came from.
I threw down some orange Tic Tacs as a kid. In fact, that was like my staple
old
candy.
Kind.
Yes, yeah. The orange ones.
Yeah. Lucky Tic Tac on Instagram. And then, if you're a business owner, you probably actually want to hit up Travel Light Tommy and talk to him because he handles all of that. I just utilize your points and put those to work.
Mm. All right. That's so great. Thank you so much for coming on today and sharing all of this with us. I'm sorry if I derailed us 72 times. You're so interesting. I could pick your brain all day. We probably will have to have you on for a follow-up episode because it feels like we missed a few things. I definitely wanted to hear about some of your other first class experiences, maybe that happened outside of this past year because you've flown some of the fancy ones. But we're going to have to save that. What I do want to know is if you have a person that all of our listeners should follow, because we love to do a shout out at the end of our episodes, someone that you think is super valuable for our audience.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have them on the podcast, it sounds like, but go listen to Paid with Points, honestly, because he talks about Hilton and getting tons of value from that. I find it super fascinating to like just listen to that Hyatt talk that he gave at Travelmore as well. Like I went to that one. I may have been booking a Hyatt property in his Hilton talk.
I saw that.
But I learned a cool tricks from his talk, which was cool.
That's awesome. Yes, everybody go follow him. We'll link him in the show notes. We'll link you in the show notes. We'll go ahead and throw Tommy in the show notes as well since you mentioned him. And Allison, thank you so much for giving us a huge chunk of your time today.
Yeah, thank you.
If you enjoyed this show today, please consider writing us a review or clicking 5 stars wherever you listen to your podcasts. And please subscribe and follow along so that you never miss an episode.
You can follow the podcast on Instagram or YouTube at Wonderland on Points Podcast. You can find me on Instagram at Family Travel for the Win with the number 4.
And you can find me on Instagram at Points to Wonderland.
If you're thinking about getting a new travel rewards credit card, consider using the links in our show notes. Using our links helps to support us and keep our podcast going so we can provide you with all the latest tips and tricks when it comes to traveling on points.
And if you aren't sure which card is right for you, shoot us an email at wonderlandonpoints@gmail.com and we would be happy to walk you through a free card consultation. That's also a great place to send us all of your comments and questions. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you here next time.